Have you ever thought about your ear or your ears, right? Like there's, like it's one of these interesting pieces of our hardware that we have, and it's, and they're kind of amazing instruments for us. You know, they allow us to do so many different things. Now, of course, we can't even see our ears without a mirror, right? So we need to be able to sort of look in a mirror to see these ears. And some people, like, you know, might have funny shaped ears or whatever, but they're really kind of fascinating, right? Like, did you know that three smallest bones in the human body are found in your ear? Your ears have bones, right? And then there are little tiny hairs inside your ear, right? We can't see them. And that's used to sort of carry sound waves into your ear so that you can hear. Or another little fact, did you know that your ears don't stop growing, like your earlobes? That you know, like if you've ever seen someone of a particular generation, you know, and they look like they have big ears, it's because their ears have still been growing. You know, so ears are sort of this fascinating thing. But we need ears more than just the concept of hearing, right? We need them to, like, our ears also provide us balance, right? They provide us sort of stability. And, I mean, our ears are kind of, they're cool little tools. In fact, I'm just bear with me for a second. If you feel comfortable, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a second. Okay? Once they're nice and closed. Now, go ahead and open them. Where was I? Go ahead and point. Right? You know, our ears hear in stereo. You know, they hear, like, in such a way that we can orient without even seeing. You know, you can tell where I was. Now, of course, I can't run around all the church, so I couldn't be that tricky, you know. But I could at least, you know, kind of drive home the point that hearing is a really important function. And we're given that gift and that reminder from our first reading, from the book of Nehemiah, right? In which the people of Israel are returning after the exile, that is, after they were sort of cast out, you know, more than, you know, almost not quite 3,000 years ago, returning from their exile from Babylon, and now they're kind of going back and they're hearing the law. Right, that is, you know, the word in Hebrew is Torah, and I'm probably mispronouncing that a little bit. But another great way of translating that word could also be teaching, right? So they're not just hearing the law; they're hearing teaching, right? They're hearing some instruction of how to live. And the response to the people of Israel by the people of Israel is actually kind of fascinating, because the people of Israel, like, they're listening, and everyone is there, right? The book reminds us that it's men, it's women, it's children old enough to understand, right? So everyone is included in this, and everyone is sort of there listening to the Word of God, this teaching, and they start crying. They start weeping, and in fact, they prostrate themselves. Now, what that means is that they basically laid face down on the ground, you know, with their hands over their heads in a position of great humility. And the prophet and the king both reach out to the people and say, no, stand, my friends, stand up, be proud, be excited, rejoice, have good food and good drink, and be merry. We kind of still do that today, don't we? I mean, this whole thing, like this moment, this special part of our liturgy is called the Liturgy of the Word, right? Where we actually sit and listen, and afterwards we're going to have coffee, which is one of my favorite drinks, and donuts, right? We will feast on good food and drink, but only after we have feasted on the best food and the best drink in the Eucharist and in this moment at the table, right? And it all begins with hearing the Word of God. And today, the other readings also give us phenomenal ideas. Paul talks about how the many parts of the body are all unique and yet still part of one body, right? My ears, as important as they are, aren't all that goes into this idea of listening, for example, right? Because when we listen, we don't just listen with our ears. We listen with our eyes because we're watching the person we're listening to. We listen with our bodies because sometimes we'll lean into them. You know, we listen with our own words, sometimes by saying, uh-huh, oh, that's really cool, right? Like, we engage the people that we're listening to, and it's not just through these little things on the sides of our heads. And Paul tells us that, you know, it's kind of weird. If my ears wanted to be another set of eyes, that would look kind of funny, huh? Right? That wouldn't be. We don't see that. We don't see that way. We don't see out of our ears, right? Or you know, if you know, it says, you know, the hand, the eye can't say to the hand, oh, I don't need you, right? And like suddenly, you know, get rid of your hand. You know, you can't. I just can't make that disappear. It's still there. And then this wonderful moment as we hear from the gospel today. Now, I love the introduction to this gospel because it's, you know, my dear Theophilus. And there's some debate of whether or not that's an actual name or if that's sort of a bit of a pun that Luke is using to talk to all of us, because the name translated is lover of God, right? Theo and Philos are, my Greek is awful. But the point is, right, that it really means that, you know, that it's the lover of God. And so in some ways, if we're sitting here and we're listening and we're hearing the word of God, we are invited to be those lovers of God, those people that this gospel is being written for. Right, so we can almost imagine that Luke's gospel is a letter written individually to each one of us to hear these great moments. And after the birth narrative, and after Jesus is sort of found in the temple, and when he's all grown up and he's beginning his public ministry, one of the things he does is he goes into a synagogue to teach. And he begins by speaking the word of God so other people can hear it. And he says, today, in your hearing, in your bringing this into you, in your understanding, the words that I just spoke, you know, declaring a year acceptable to God, freeing the captives, healing the blind, that's happening right now. And I don't think this gospel just means Jesus in that moment. He does, you know, the gospel writer does mean that. But it also means the gospel writer is inviting us to see that here and now in our lives. Because that invites us, when we hear something, we're also invited to act. We're invited to respond to it, right? Because listening is more than just our ears. And as we respond to that, then we become those agents, those people, the ones who help bring about that kingdom by responding to the needs of the world, by enacting justice, by enacting sort of the ways that we care for one another. But it's also important that sometimes in that act of bringing about justice, we have to hear our scriptures in a new way, right? The law is important. The rules are important, but they're meant to guide us toward holiness. They're not meant to constrain us, right? They're not meant to bind us. They're not meant to sort of keep us locked into a particular idea. They're meant to be a vehicle by which we enter into holiness. And so from time to time, we have to stop and we have to pay attention to what are the rules, and maybe we have to look at them in different and unique ways. Or the reality is, like, you know, you have to take care of your ears, right? We have to take care of the various parts of our body. Maybe they don't all do the same function, but sometimes, you know, if we don't care for them, right? Like, you know, if you run a lot, you need to have good shoes. Or in fact, one of the things they've discovered with hearing in particular is that if you have hearing loss, greater than 25 decibels, in fact, you're more likely to develop Alzheimer's and dementia, right? Losing your hearing doesn't just affect what you can hear, but it also starts to affect your mind, right? And so, like, I have a friend who's my age, and he actually has hearing aids already, because hearing is so important, right? That you have to take good care of your ears. You know, listen to music on a quiet level. Listen to, you know, when your parents say, hey, turn the music down, they're not just joking, right? They're trying to keep your ears healthy. But as Jesus sort of reminds us, and Paul reminds us in his letter, you know, that we are the body of the church. We are, all of us corporately are the body of the church. Sometimes there are moments in which certain parts of that body have been ignored, or if they've been cast aside, or perhaps they haven't been treated with the respect and dignity that they deserve. We're going to have an announcement later on at this liturgy that's going to speak to this very fact, because Father Warren and I and Deacon Tom have this beautiful privilege of being able to preach the Word of God. We have this beautiful privilege of being able to stand in this place, of being able to break this open. And our hope is to sort of examine this idea, examine the various parts and people and parts of this Christian body. And so as we enter into today's liturgy, let us be reminded by two things: that every part is important, and that we are those parts, so we are important, And by extension, let us be the witnesses of that world that is coming today. That world in which Jesus has promised that we can heal the sick, we can free the captives, and declare a year that is acceptable indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.